This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens. Hi, I'm Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. This week, I had the chance to speak with Daymond John, who you all know, but I'll remind you of some of his many career highlights anyway. In 1992, he started a fashion company called FUBU with just $40, according to the legend. Well, today, FUBU is worth slightly more, $6 billion more to be exact. He's also on a show you may have heard of called Shark Tank. You ever seen it? So Daymond is a best-selling author, a motivational speaker. He was appointed a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship. And also, the man is a beekeeper. Yes, bees. But I'll let him explain that. So with all these accolades, you'd think that Daymond would be the kind of guy who shows up to interviews with an army of assistants and publicists. But that's not the case. On the day we spoke, Daymond rolled over to the Entrepreneur offices all by himself. If I was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, I might demand someone ring the doorbell for me, but not Daymond. He came straight from the airport and ready to drop some knowledge. So we sat down for a lively chat about his latest charitable endeavors, the juggernaut known as Shark Tank, starting and growing a company, and yes, how he relaxes by surrounding himself with bees. Thanks for listening, and now, How Success Happens. So, thanks for coming.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you came directly from an airplane to here.
Yeah.
So how was your flight?
They're always the same.
Yeah.
Uneventful. Yeah. I go to sleep before the plane takes off. I wake up after it lands.
Really?
Yeah.
Just on command. You can just fall asleep on command.
That's it. Yeah.
That is an enviable skill.
No, on planes.
On planes.
At night when I go to bed at 11, I don't sleep until 2 because I'm sitting up just twisting and turning.
So if you're on a plane and you are awake, what does Daymond John do? Do you watch a movie? Do you have a drink? Do you zone out?
I do all three, actually. I'll send out emails. I'll watch a movie on and off. I'll just clean up my phone. Delete half the videos, so save some more room.
All the kind
of stuff you don't have time to do when you're sitting around the office.
Well, I appreciate your vigor. I mean, most people get off a plane and want to collapse, so I really appreciate you coming straight here.
Oh, thank you, man.
So you're here. We'll talk about a bunch of different things, but first, a word from our sponsor. Hey, this is Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Here's a crazy statistic. More than one quarter of all Americans say they'd start their own business in the next year if they could, but only a fraction of those actually do it. Why? Well, because taking that leap can be scary. So luckily, there's Weebly. Weebly is the easiest way to create an incredible looking website. But more importantly, it comes with a whole bunch of tools to help you sell your products, process payment, manage inventory, create marketing campaigns, and grow your brand. And because Weebly's mission is to help turn people's great ideas into successful businesses, they've built an incredible support team. If you have a question, just pick up the phone to talk to a customer success expert. No scripts, no robots, just a friendly human who can help you do what needs doing. So if you've got a product or idea you want to share with the world, check out Weebly. You can have a beautiful, powerful online store up and running in a matter of hours. And because you listen to this podcast, you can visit Weebly.com/HSH and get 15% off your first purchase. Don't just build a beautiful website, build a successful online business with Weebly. Why don't we start off by talking about the second year of this initiative you're working on?
Yeah, the Bob Evans Out Farm Salutes, giving a great opportunity to veteran owners of businesses, giving them, financial reward, which is about $25,000 to three separate winners. They'll also get the ability to come out to New York, and Bob Evans takes care of all that and sit with me for a couple hours, and we get to powwow about hopefully how they can improve their business, and of course, I end up learning probably more from them than they learn from me. And it's just a way that Bob Evans is saluting and giving back to these great American men and women in the service that have, you know, laid it all out for us and continue to protect us.
So what drew you to it? Is it just that?
You know, I was always passionate about helping others, but, you know, more importantly, this hits various different areas where I value. It hits the people who have protected us and continue to protect us. It talks about entrepreneurship, empowerment. It also is, you know, on Shark Tank, you know, I give up my money and I have to take a percentage. This is a well-needed cash that startups and or running businesses need without taking a percentage. I think it's all around just amazing.
Oh, that's cool. So I've talked to a lot of former military guys who are now entrepreneurs, and it's definitely a different breed. It's a different mindset. So you say you learned a lot from these guys. What have you learned?
Well, you know, I learned that when they take a lot of the practices they had in the field of getting things done one way or another, you know, they're not the type of people who just lay back and go, I hope somebody helps me, this and that. They're just very assertive. They have a very tight community.
Yeah.
You know, in business, the only thing that's more important than the number is the person. And when you have people that are operating a business who, first of all, their prior life, they were not selfish at all. They didn't care about what's in it for them. They were fighting for us. When they're running their business with the same mentality about what's in it for the person that they are serving, they grow. Yeah. Very, very fast.
Right.
And, you know, on the flip side, I see the opposite. When I see people get into business only for money, what's in it for them, all of a sudden they die fairly fast.
So I just
keep getting the message reinforced to me from these from veterans on how they are serving others even when they become private citizens and they're you know, putting out a product.
So they get to spend some time with you. So you're mentoring them?
Yeah, you know, we're having a one-on-one session. I'm mentoring them. I'm telling them about some of the roadblocks and the landmines that I have had to run across.
Yeah.
If I could help them. Hopefully, you know, most mentors in business are going to do three things. First of all, they're going to try to tell you not to take in capital too soon, mm-hmm. meaning not Bob Evans type of capital where you don't have to give up anything for it.
Yeah.
They're also going to tell you not to scale too quick.
Okay.
And they're also going to tell you to focus solely on your 80-20, the product that is, 20% of your effort is going to bringing 80% of your revenue. So that's probably what I'm going to end up saying to them mostly. And a lot of times, you know, when entrepreneurs are discouraged and they find out, wait a minute, Damon, you're still going through challenges too. You still fail. You still hear no. You still got to worry about cash flow,
yeah.
how to convert social media over to whatever. They go, okay, maybe I am on the right track. I'm okay,
right.
You know. So I think those are the things that the conversations we have that work.
So you rattled those things off pretty quickly. I mean, you've got a lot of information on tap in your brain. But once upon a time, you didn't have all that stuff. You were starting out. You were new.
Correct.
You didn't know anything. But what are some things that you're kind of glad that you didn't know, like that might have presented a roadblock to you and sort of benefited you by not knowing the challenges you're about to face?
So the ignorance is bliss.
Right.
There was many, many things that I didn't know that ended up helping me. My negotiation with Samsung, I was extremely bold and arrogant. I had $100,000 in the bank because I had just mortgaged my home, my mother's home, and I felt like the $100,000 was the entire world, and I was bawling. And so when they were negotiating, you know, our percentage and how much they would take against how much they would give to manufacture my product, I had a fairly great deal because I just kept saying no, 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 because I was willing to walk away not knowing that I would have been bankrupt 2 months or 3 months later. I think that, as a person who's in a garmento now, I was selling, my partners and I laugh, but, you know, there were acrylic sweaters that my traditionally would sell for about, we would make them for about $4 or $6, and we'd sell them for $20. Well, I decided with the name Foodborne, and I would sell them for $70 or $80. I started pricing things purely off of emotion, not industry standard. Oh my God, what are you talking about? An acrylic sweater should not sell for more than $29 or $19. Nope, it looks really flavorful, and we need to put it out at $70. And it worked. You know, it worked the opposite way too sometimes, but I was very small. So when I did put out something that was purple with ruffles on it, because I like prints, and if it didn't work, I could just pull it back fairly quickly because I was small at the time. So I made a lot of great moves because I was ignorant, and a lot of stupid moves because I was ignorant as well.
So if you had to start all over again, same age, same mindset, but it's today, what industry do you think you'd be in? Would you still be in clothing? Would you be looking into other areas? What would Damon John, a young Damon John, be looking to jump into?
No, well, you know, going back to saying that doing something I loved, I still would have been in clothing. If today I was 19 years old, I still would have been in clothing. I just would have been creating my community on a different platform, right, other than the clubs and the streets. Right. I would have been in the clubs and the streets, but now I'd have been able to capture that image and or those voices and send it around the world. I had to work door to door to door to borough to borough to borough to city to city. Right. Now you can do that in 3 seconds. So it would have been much different. If content was around to see all the things that we did coming up, the movement, FUBU would be massive today.
LL Cool J was your kind of big breakthrough moment in getting visibility to the brand.
Yes and no. He wasn't my first. My first breakthrough moment was when I really followed around a guy named Ralph McDaniels in New York City, who had a show called, well, it's still on today, called Video Music Box, one of the longest running video shows. And he interviewed me, and he said, you know, on the interview, he said, you know, watch out for these guys. This is the next best thing. That really seeded with all the rappers and all the people that I was somebody of value. And then it would be various different things. It would be, Miss Jones wore it. A couple of people wore it in videos prior to LL Cool J, but when LL wore it, boom. First of all, he was a big artist, he is a big artist, and he wore it, you know, on a big song, Hey Lover with Boyz II Men, who was big, and so that video got nationwide play. Right. Other ones were local. He's been pivotal for various moments of my career with his support of the brand.
In today's world, we always hear about influencers, influencers, influencers. Do you still subscribe to that as a way for a brand to break through the noise?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, that's when you are, you know, halfway towards your battle. But when creating the brand, the local and the smaller influencers are way more important. They're more important than the big influencers any and all time. But people want to skip that step. They want to immediately go for the Kim Kardashians and the LL Cool J's, and they want to skip the step of the local community.
And I'm sure you're in that list too. I'm sure you have people asking you to wear their stuff all the time.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I wear it, you know, and now being on the other side of the table, I understand why people wear it or don't.
So you're on Shark Tank, TV pitch show. You're obviously probably walking around getting pitched all the time. Is there something that when someone walks up to you, you could say within seconds that you're like, I want nothing to do with this person? Or is there something that like instantly grabs you and says, I want to learn more?
There are more things you can say to turn me off than to get me excited about something. A lot of times, as we know, we communicate through body language, but it really is that aggressive person who either says, feels like I am the answer to all their problems. So, because now all of a sudden you're making this my problem and I got my own problems, right? Or somebody who tells me, you know, the size of the market. This is a $50 billion market. If I only get 1% of 1% of 1%, okay, you don't know what you're talking about. Every market is a $1 billion market. Somebody who says, I just have an idea. I had 6 ideas this morning and 6 of them sucked. But, yeah. So there are so many different things that that they can say to turn me off. The way to get me excited about something, I think, are... and you have two scenarios of two type of people. You have a person who's going to meet me in the elevator, so they're not prepared. Right. So I understand they can't do their homework. But if somebody does have the opportunity to pitch me and know they're going to pitch me, then they need to get very granular on why I resonate with things. So they may say, well, Damon, you're in the clothing business, so I knew this was a good idea for you. But if you really do your homework, I got 12 clothing companies and 11 of them are dead. I'm not looking for more clothing companies. I'm looking for more here.
Right.
So you can say the exact wrong thing. Yeah, but if you know the right thing and you go, wait a minute, I heard that Al Bubba Baker's ribs are working and this and this and that, and you're starting to get more into food or you're starting to get into health tech. And so you need to know what I want. If you happen to be in an elevator or something like that, I think the easiest or quickest way to do it, knowing that I'm approached often, is saying something to the similar like, listen, here's what I do. I'm cash positive, or I'm doing really well with it. I don't want to burden you with your time. Is there somebody I could contact in the event that something's going further, right. And I don't want anything from you now, but hopefully we'll see each other down the road. Matter of fact, I know we will. And it's kind of like that, hey, wait a minute. You don't really care too much about me. You just, you know what I mean? So then I go, well, no. What is it? Right. What is it? You know, it's one of those things.
Do you ever actually follow up with people that way?
Yeah, because I have followed up with various people, but I didn't follow. You got to know how my system works. You have to know that obviously I'm so busy that I have people who vet these things. And if you say, hey, who can I contact? You contact that person. That person goes, hey, Damon, I know you met somebody in the elevator, but they actually have something you may want to look at. That person has the hour to look at the project.
Yeah.
Right? If you hit me hard with it at the moment, I got 9 things going through my head. I brush it off and I never get back to it. But that person's job is to get back to it.
So I actually wanted to talk to you about that. This whole, like, there's 1,000 things going in your head at once. You know, we're all thinking in a million different directions at the same time. But as human beings, sometimes we need to stop. So how do you do that? Like, how do you go about turning your brain off and just zoning out and recharging?
Challenging, you know. I try to work out as much as I can, and when I work out, I get to turn it off. When I work out, or when I, you know, and I try to work out in any form. Like tonight, you know, if it wasn't raining, you know, after I put the baby to bed, I probably will walk, for 2 hours from 10 to 12, you know, with my headphones on, just out in New York City because it's nice out today. And I will let my mind drift at the time, you know, and I'm a very active person. I go fishing and things of that nature. Unfortunately, when my schedule is too crazy and I can't work out, I resort to what most business people do. I get a nice cocktail and I, you know, and all of a sudden it shuts off this massive amount of information coming to my head because I'm thinking about another double Tito's and soda.
Right, right.
It's one or the other, you know?
Yeah. So you're a big fisherman.
I am.
What
I
do
am.
You go for?
Well, I have a lake where I live, so I bass and perch and catfish, but, you know, I grew up in New York, and, you know, we have 300 miles of shoreline. A lot of people don't realize. So anything from striped bass to flounder, fluke, blackfish. I was actually just fishing in Bahamas, and I actually, for the first time in my life, I decided to get out of my comfort zone, and I just dived with 25 sharks.
Really?
Yeah, and that was another form of, I'm a water person, so anything I can do on the water.
So you actually sort of went into a shark tank?
Yeah, I went physically into the ocean, and there were, Lemon Reef and one huge tiger shark, which, there were two tiger sharks, but I didn't see the second one come around. But yeah, I got certified.
Oh, wow.
And this is free diving. Yeah, I mean, this is a scuba diving right out there with, you know.
Okay, so for the podcasters who can't see, Damon is showing me a video on his phone, and he is swimming with Jaws. That is not a blue screen. Wow, that's crazy. Do you ever have moments where you're like, wow, I'm worth a lot of money. Why am I doing this?
No, not at all. No, man, you know, you got to get out of, you got to keep pushing yourself and getting out of your comfort zone. And God has blessed me with a lot of great access and opportunities.
Yeah.
And how many times you're going to be able to, you know, dive with world-renowned. So let's get this straight. There was a lot of professionals around me. So I wasn't worried about it because those guys dive with great white sharks. And there's only a handful of people who dive like that with great white sharks, no cage. So it was like being around kittens as far as those guys were concerned. So I was happy, you know, that I was with those guys.
So you had full faith in these guys?
I have full faith in those guys. The worst faith, the biggest problem I have is trying to understand the gear because I didn't want to spaz out, then swim to the top. And they were like, if you swim to the top, it's going to react. The shark is going to react a different way because now all of a sudden you're prey and you're running.
Oh, wow.
That's how they attack. They don't attack you looking at you because they go, they're predators. They only attack things from the back and from.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm not sure that I'd do it, but I'm glad you did and I can watch the video.
Yeah.
And also heard, is this true that you keep bees?
Yeah, I have bees on my property. I have about a million some odd bees. That sounds like a lot. It's not.
Yeah, that does sound like a lot.
28 hives. Yeah.
And how did that come about?
Miraculously, by Shark Tank. I think I learned more from Shark Tank than anybody else. So these guys come on and they, you know, have these kind of like hip beehives, and they start talking about the honeybee and talking about how, you know, Einstein and various other people say that if the bee goes away, that we only have 4 years left on the planet. And then I started to understand the value of the bee, and I felt like crap after that because I was the person, kill a bee when it's around, smack it and, you know, get rid of it. And I started feeling like crap, and then I said, okay, Now, here's the money thing. I think I'm going to have a beehive. So I decided to get some beehives, you know, the beehives. So, but I need a queen bee. So I decided to call around Mr. Big Shot, you know, for queen bees. And they were like, sorry, buddy, this is nature. You can't just buy queen bees like that, mister. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you're crazy. All right, $200, $500, $1,000. They were like, I don't care if you have a million. You can't buy queen bees like that. So then I went and I found out about the symbiotic relationship that beekeepers have with farmers, and I have a large piece of land, and they generally come and drop off the hives. I can keep mine, but they drop off the hives. The bees help pollinate the farm and the flowers. They grow quicker. And in return, the beekeeper gives the farmer half the honey. They take half the honey, and they take the other half the honey. And that's the way that they've had a symbiotic relationship with farmers for many years. And now I have my beekeeper who helps me with my bees, named Dennis. And I have a good time. I get to understand the value and see how amazing these little creatures
are. That's pretty cool. Now, are your neighbors aware or concerned that you've got a million bees in your backyard?
No, I have a large people. I have a fairly large piece of property.
What do you have, like a quarter acre or something?
yeah. Yep.
So that's the Shark Tank person who inspired you. And, you know, we watch a show and maybe there are people who aren't quite as inspirational. Have you ever gotten a business with someone and immediately regretted it?
I have. Yeah. I tend not to say their names because I can, I realize that the power of my voice can hurt them. And, the situation may not have worked well because of both of our sides. But yes, I've gone into plenty of deals on Shark Tank where I ended up just not having interest due to the person and so is the person. And vice versa, I'm sure several of them have gotten into business with me. And like I said in the opening, they thought that I was going to take all their problems away when I end up telling them, I'm not backing up a truck of cash to you. I'm going to give you the money, but I'm going to give you it in tranches. You have to get to this point. What are you talking about, Damon? You know? No, you have to actually work. What are you talking about? I'm a star now. I'm on TV one time.
Okay, so say I'm a guy that came on the show. I had some idea, and you liked it, and we got into business together. And so you give me a first round of investment, and I go out and buy a Porsche. So I'm guessing you're disenchanted with me. Break up with me.
You want me to tell you how to break up with you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you haven't hit the numbers that we expected. You abused the money as far as I'm concerned, and I'd rather just cut my losses now, and I wish you all the best.
But I can change, Damon.
Okay, well, you won't be changing with me. I mean, that'll be on your own, and, I have to lick my wounds from the money that you've already, squandered, and, I'm going to just step away at this point. I appreciate it, though.
So are all the sharks, do you think, as nice about it when they break up with a business partner?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so, because I think that, we know what we signed up for. And the breaking up doesn't come nowhere near as much as the beauty and the joy of seeing people succeed. Mm-hmm. So if you have 2 bad apples out of 10, but you see another 8, I'm not saying they're going to succeed, but you see them get the right shot. You do see them succeed. You see them employ people. You see them know that you gave them as much effort and help you can. And whether it succeeds or not, they had a good experience. That overshadows the bad experiences we had.
Mm, that's cool. Yeah. So do you have Barbara up to the bee farm?
No, I have not invited any of the sharks up to my house that's up there, because that's where I just want to have peace.
So that's a shark-free zone?
Yeah, that's a shark-free zone. Yeah, good way to say it.
So an entrepreneur, we have a lot of readers and viewers and podcast listeners. They're so passionate. They have so much energy and they really want to do something big, but they just don't have a great idea yet. So what do you advise to people like that? Do you just keep pushing until something good happens? How do you get into the entrepreneurial world if you haven't landed on that great idea yet?
Are you saying that they don't have a good idea yet, or are they saying they're on to their product, they have the passion, the drive, but the product is just not?
They desperately want to be an entrepreneur. They desperately want to get something going, but they just don't have that big idea yet.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of keep yourself going while you're waiting for that big inspiration to hit?
It's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. I think that don't force it. Don't look for that great idea. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can be into something you love. You know, you can learn it very well and invest in smarter people than you. Like, Elon Musk or Steve Jobs and play the market that way and be very excited about it. You can keep researching it, maybe go and donate time towards a startup or nonprofit that is in the area of where you see, and you can educate yourself. You can intern someplace. You can offer a strategic relationship. Maybe you are a great bookkeeper and you know that a company needs your services, but you want to start learning more about what they do in fashion, and you ask them, can you work with them and trade off your services? There's always ways to get into the field that you want to be in, and don't just jump in and say, I have to create the company. So, you know, a lot of times entrepreneurs who own the company are the last people to make the money. And FUBU, the first couple of years in business, you know, we didn't take much of the money out. We took a couple out, but there was this one guy named Johnny Wong. And Johnny was a manufacturer. He just made jeans. He got paid $1 off of each pair of jeans that he made for us, right? So by year six, he made $30 million off of jeans, right? Now me, you know, we made money, but I had this big staff, this. He was just taking the order over to China, making sure he looked at everything that went on, but he didn't have to worry about his warehouse. He's basically a broker, but he made almost as much money as we did, $1 per jean. You know, there's some people who want to be in cannabis, right? You want to be in cannabis business? You don't have to sell weed. Mm-hmm. You could be someone, because the cannabis business is growing. There's a lot of people there who may not know how to do bookkeeping, shipping, financing, packaging. You can be making packaging for it. You can take packaging over any border you want. It's plastic, and you can be very close to it. So it all depends on, you know, where do you find an opening to keep educating yourself in that system.
So you're involved in so many different things. Is there an area that you're passionate about, but because you're so passionate about it, you actually don't want to be in business surrounding it? You just want to have this thing that you enjoy?
Yeah, I think it's, as we talked earlier, fishing or bees or all these nature things. I don't want to destroy the beauty of being able to enjoy it. I don't want to, I love going to events, speaking and partying, but I don't want to be a promoter.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be the one dealing with having to build it, you know. I like to show up and leave when I want and not worry about who's invited, not invited, how do I get directions, you know, what vendors are paid.
So,
100%. There's a lot of things that I will not dabble into from a business standpoint, because it'll take the love away from it.
Yeah. Finally, you know, you look great, and it's been awesome to read about how you've recovered from your health scare. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? It seems like you sort of learned about this health scare kind of randomly.
Yeah. So, you know, I went and got in. Well, so first of all, a friend of mine, Bernie Human, had sat with me, and again, we all need mentors. This man is great. He was Muhammad Ali's manager. He discovered Siegfried and Roy. Really amazing guy. And I remember him saying to me one day, with all the money you have, how come you don't go get an executive physical? And I said, okay, well, what the hell is an executive physical? I would get it, but I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, you go check into it. So I check into it. It's a couple of $1,000, but they run you through all kind of machines. I mean, you're there for 2 days, and they run you through everything. I go and I get this executive physical, and they're checking these cartilage veins, whatever this is called. What's it called? The cartilage?
Carotid.
There you go. See? Yeah. I didn't know what it was. So they're checking that, and they said, everything's clear. You know, you're good. You know, the veins are looking good. Oh, by the way, you got a little nodule on your thyroid. You should go get that checked out. Go over to go get it checked out. You know, they biopsy it, and they said, all right, it's a 90% chance we're going to know what it is, but there's a 10% chance we're not going to know what's going on. What do you think happened? 10% chance comes back. We don't know what it is. I go to the doctor. They said, listen, here's what you should do. You know, you're not 90 years old. You're almost 50, and you know, I believe we should take out half of the thyroid, because you have you don't know what's going on. But there's 50% chance you're taking out half of a perfectly good thyroid, and there's 50% chance you're taking out something that may be challenging. I go get the surgery. The 1 hour surgery turns into a 3.5 hour surgery. It's stage 2 cancer. When they take it out and they test it, a week later they tell me it was stage 2 cancer, and it must have been in my body for quite some time. And it was in there large enough where it was potentially moving into my lymph nodes. So anyway, I go through this scare of, okay, we think we got it all, but now I'm on Synthroid, I got to check it out all the time, but now my lymph nodes are getting swollen. They don't know if it's reacting to the surgery or is it more cancer in my body, and then all of a sudden it becomes more challenging. Thank God they got it all, and we will still monitor it. Going back for, and I'm just giving you a little more of the insight because, as I had, casually told people about it, they may think that I'm cancer-free, but it's not a constant thing you need to work on. My insurance company calls and says you have nodules in your chest, and I don't smoke. And they're like, normally it doesn't sound like it's a problem, but the last nodule that you had in your body was cancerous.
Right.
So now I got a month of checking that out with a CT scan. Those are all good too.
Oh.
But I say all that to say that as I started to realize, my doctor was feeling my neck every year when he does my normal physical, checking for lymph nodes. And, the body's very complicated. And whether, if people are listening to this right now who are entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs always go and ask themselves the tough questions about their business, right? Whether your P&L comes back great and you're making money or not, you're going to say, how can I make more? How can I reduce my cost and increase my sales? You'll always ask yourself why. How can you make something better? But I find we don't do that with our health. I find that we don't sit there and go, I'm low on energy. I don't care how many times I go to the doctor and they tell me take these vitamins. It just doesn't feel right. This just doesn't, right. I gotta check into this. Why is that doctor giving me that pill? There's no other way on earth that I can become healthier than just to take that pill. I started after that to ask myself questions after questions after questions. So after that, I got a colonoscopy, I got another endoscopy coming up, I got this and that, and I made my health my priority. And I haven't, I did like everybody else, watched What the Health, and now I gave up chicken and meat, and I feel great. I feel great, and I love sharing that because another thing entrepreneurs don't do is they don't take care of themselves, a lot of them. They're so busy taking care of other people or saying, I'm too busy, I'll get to it tomorrow, and they don't take care of themselves. And the only thing you don't hear us talk about on Shark Tank is the value of health.
Yeah.
When that's the most important aspect of business,
right.
Well, that's great advice. And whether or not you can get an executive checkout, you can certainly go for regular checkups, go to the dentist and take care of yourself, as you said.
Yeah, and I'm like most people. I looked at my dear friend, Big Ange, and I looked at her on TV, and, she had cancer, and of course it was from smoking. But when we see people and we hear that they have illnesses, we often stick our head in the sand and go, man, I hope that invisible bus just doesn't hit me, right? Instead of going, hypertension runs in my family. Let me go and check it out.
Mm.
The things we know that we actually should do, but we don't do.
Right.
And I went public about it because I wanted to share that if you have early detection, there's a fairly good chance if you catch something in time, you can beat it, Anyway, I just say to anybody out there, if you don't have money for an executive physical, which can be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, and some people may say they don't have that money, but yet they're in Louis Vuitton and in Mercedes going and buying a car, right? But if you don't have that money to do that, if you know hypertension runs in your family, or get a colonoscopy or endoscopy or just a checkup, just do the simple things first.
Well, that's great advice and I think a great note to end on. So thank you so much for coming by.
I appreciate it.
I know you're a busy man and I don't want to keep you from your bees or whatever scary creatures you are looking to hang out with today. So thanks again for dropping by.
So that's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and to hear our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.